The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and they go into detail about it. I'm Stephen Schleicher. You can follow me at Major Spoilers. Over there is Matthew Peterson. You can follow him on Twitter at Mighty King Cobra. And this week we are following the continuing adventures of the King of Dreams, Sandman, in Sandman Overture number 4. Mm-hmm. Sandman, I'll just say this right up front, because this will probably color everything else that comes after. Sandman for me is a very deep book. I've read the first volume, the first big volume. I've got the first four volumes all in the omnibus edition, but I haven't gotten through all of them.
Right.
To me, it's always been very deep, especially in later times when Neil Gaiman starts to really get into not really poetry, but poetic verse.
Poems.
And couple that with the art, which also is very deep. And I always have found Sandman to be very difficult to get through. And when we're on issue 4 of a series that I haven't read, it becomes even more confusing. So, Matthew, please tell us what's been going on in Sandman Overture.
All right. Well, Sandman Overture number 1, notably, came out in October of last year.
Wow.
I reviewed it right before Halloween 2013, and you can look at this issue and you can kind of see why it's taking forever. But essentially, in the first issue, Dream, the original Dream, Morpheus, was wandering around doing his thing and his thing, and all of a sudden, something weird happened, and he just realized that there were dozens of him. There were bunches of different aspects of Dream.
So this is where the cat comes from and the little girl comes from.
Well, the little girl is different. Okay. This is like Crisis on Infinite Dreams. Something happened somewhere along the line. One of him got lost. And as happens with the Doctor, when one of him was lost in time, all of the rest of them were then temporarily out of sync and showed up together.
Okay. So
that's where the cat comes from.
Okay. So is that why in this issue, there's a sequence where Dream says that he'd never had to kill anyone before. I mean, this was the first time he'd ever killed anyone.
Yes.
And his aspect was somebody that looked not like the person that we know.
Yeah, this is
Is that one of his different versions of himself?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think the Dream that we know from Sandman, if I remember correctly, this takes place before Sandman number 1.
Wow. Okay.
From Dream's perspective. And this is a young Dream.
Uh-huh.
But the story that we've read also had Daniel, his follow-up Dream. You remember Daniel?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay. Morpheus, spoilers, in the course of the original 80-odd, 77, whatever it is, issues of Sandman, Morpheus dies.
Okay.
Mostly because of his own bullheaded pride.
Right.
And is replaced by Daniel Hall, the son of the Silver Scarab and Fury. Daniel shows up about halfway through the book.
Okay.
That version of the Sandman is the one that we saw in Justice League some years ago, all in white.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That I know you remember.
Yeah.
So this issue actually opens with us talking for the first time. Well, actually, last issue was the first time. But the first time that we, the readers, actually meet Dream's father.
Right. Okay. So I didn't know if this was something ongoing, something I had missed in some kind of story before. But yeah, the introduction of his father, who I'm guessing is who? Is he God? Hello?
Father Time.
Oh, Father Time. Okay.
He's Father Time.
Okay.
And his mother is basically Mother Night, from what I understand, or Mother Darkness.
Okay.
From that show, she showed up in issue 2 and 3, I want to say.
Okay.
But in this issue, the thing that's really, really difficult and disconcerting is both of the interactions with his father take place within the space of a couple of seconds.
Well, within the space of the space between seconds.
Yeah. At the very beginning of the issue, Morpheus is having a discussion with Hope, and then all of a sudden, bang, he's off talking with his dad in a Peter Max painting.
Right.
And it really is like a Peter Max painting. And holy crap, is it a gorgeous issue, but it's so hard to read.
Yeah, and that was my, you know, the art is really cool, and I love how everything just kind of flows from, you know, area to area. Not panel to panel, even though there are some panels in there. Everything just kind of flows, and it's very beautiful in that way. It's easy enough to follow where the dialogue goes and where the balloon goes and the order of reading that stuff. But it does take a while to navigate. I guess the one thing that I have a problem with the art is that every character has a different color for their word balloon. And for Father Time and for Morpheus and for Hope, everything's easy to read. But when they get into the star guys, where it turns into a paisley plaid kaleidoscope of crap.
Yeah, that's to show us that that guy's crazy.
Yeah, I can't read that.
There's a mad star involved.
So have we seen these things before?
Not to my knowledge. If I understand, and I'm trying to remember because it's been like a year, there was a previous issue of Sandman where we saw Dream returning from a long journey. And this is Neil Gaiman telling us the story of what happened to set up that moment where Morpheus suddenly walked in and was, okay, now my brain is putting it together. Do you remember when he was captured in issue 1?
Yeah, and he was in Sandman. And he was in the bubble, yeah.
Right, and the reason he says he was captured was because he had been on a long journey and he was already tired.
Tired, yeah.
And he was injured. I believe this is the story of how he got so tired and so distracted that he was able to be captured.
Interesting.
By the goons in issue 1.
Interesting.
Now, if I'm wrong, people will correct us, and they'll correct us loudly.
Yeah.
Majorspoilers.com, hit the comments section and tell Steven that he's wrong when he totally remembered those things that were wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I don't. So then what's the deal with Hope?
Hope, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Last issue is I've read 1. I've read 2. I skimmed 3. So I haven't really got a whole lot of thing into it. But I believe that Hope is a normal person, not a human, but a creature from a planet that is imperiled by whatever is going on with the stars.
Ah, okay.
And Morpheus is just sort of, you know, he does that thing where certain creatures appeal to him.
Right.
And suddenly Hobgadling is immortal.
Yeah.
So I think it's something with that.
Okay.
She's just some girl.
It is a very beautiful issue. And yeah, I really do enjoy Gaiman's writing. I just, because I don't follow Sandman and because his writing is so thick, I guess maybe not deep is not the word that I'm looking for, but it's thick.
Portentous.
Yeah. I just always get really turned off by Sandman stories.
And I don't know why. Now, Ed, there's one Sandman thing where, mercifully, every issue is basically a standalone story.
Yeah, those really work for me. Or when I can read them in a collected volume, like the Absolute Editions, works really, really well when I can read like 6 of them in a row and then go, oh, I see what's going on. Or, like you said, the Hob story, where those are basically standalone stories. They just are spaced out like once a year or once every 20 issues or something.
Yeah, there's an arc that is collected under the title World's End. And World's End, basically, each issue has a beginning, middle, and end of a story. Or in several cases, multiple stories. There's one where we're watching someone tell the story of a story that he was told by his mentor, who was told a story about someone who told a story with a story in that story. It's a gorgeous issue. It's really, really fun to parse. But as you say, in smaller chunks, this is, you know what this is? When I'm driving to work, I'm in the Chrysler driving along, and I switch radio stations and I get the tail end of this gorgeous, beautiful song.
Yeah,
but I didn't
Taylor
have
Swift. I know that feeling.
Yeah, whatever it is. And I didn't have time to Shazam and prove that it was Taylor Swift or use my Google Fram. So that little snippet of the end of the song is stuck in my head. And I don't know why she's, you know, got driving Cadillacs in her dreams.
Yeah.
And that's what this issue is. Until I can sit down and read all six issues of Overture together, this is going to be that haunting snippet of the end of a song that won't come out of my head because I don't know how it ends.
So this is six issues?
Yes, this is okay. Issue four of six.
Okay.
And again, you know, it's taken 15 months to get these four issues out.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I think if you've got something as rich and thick as Gaiman's writing, I think it needs to come out monthly. I really, you know, if you're getting this quarterly, that's problematic. And I don't know where the holdup is. Obviously, it's not Gaiman because words fall out of his mind and onto the page like water out of a leaky faucet.
Maybe
the art, because the art is just, again, the art is beautiful and it flows and it's layered and it's deep. And there's so many ways to look at it, literally looking at it from different angles to see what's going into it. And that may be what's taking time, or maybe they've just planned this to take a 2.5 year journey.
I don't think so. I believe this was originally solicited under the expectation that it would come out regularly. But I think there's also, and it may have been one of those things where they were a little bit premature in their expectation that it could be done. And then things have gone, you know, even further awry. It was supposed to be bi-monthly.
Okay.
As of last year. Issue two was in March. Issue three, I think, was sometime in the late summer. And now issue four is coming out right around, you know, the holidays.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is basically quarterly.
Yeah.
Which is really only twice as long as it should have been.
Yes. I guess here's my thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell a story, and this goes for anybody, when you have extended breaks between chapters or extended breaks between issues, you run the risk of losing your audience because they forget that it's coming out, or they, you know, 3 months have passed. Oh, yeah, there's another Sandman. I should have ordered that 6 months ago. Or the thing that I thought I ordered 6 months ago was canceled, and then I forgot to get it put back onto my order list.
Right.
Those things happen. And then you run into the risk like you where, oh, yeah, I remember reading issue one and two like a year ago. And issue three was like 3 months ago. I don't know what's going on. I think it really jumbles up the ability to enjoy the story, which is why I do like books that come out monthly. I would prefer done in ones. You know, the Paul Dini run on Detective Comics is still one of the best Batman runs ever, because every issue was done in one issue and that was it. And you had a beginning, middle, and end in that one issue. And if you skipped a month, that's okay. But when you have these breaks, it's rough, unless it's an actual, like Afterlife with Archie, I think is really good because they did their six issues.
Right.
That left in a big kind of conclusion. Yeah. They built in that break. So they knew at the end of issue six, they're going to take a break for a couple of months. It's a story that's relatively complete where they're leaving Riverdale. Mm-hmm. And then it gives the publicity engine time to gear up for the all new Afterlife with Archie #7 and get people excited about it again. And, oh, what's going to happen next? I sadly do not, and now DC Publicity does not contact us as often as Marvel or some of the other publishers do.
Right.
But we do not get a lot of publicity about Sandman Overture.
I think it's important to note that J.H. Williams, the artist of this book, started drawing this book when he was still on Batwoman.
Wow.
You'll remember the unceremonious exit that they had from Batwoman last fall.
Yeah.
I wonder if some of that may have affected Williams' ability to get this book done in a timely manner. I mean, I don't know. No one has come out and said anything other than, you know, it's taking time, it's taking longer. I really am fine with a book taking longer to come out.
I mean, if it's really good, but in this case, because knowing what's going on is important, I think that hurts the book.
And I really do believe that this book has lost all of its momentum in terms of fan press until we get either issue six or more likely the collection.
When I think the trade comes out, I think you'll see a lot of people pop up on that. And of course, if Vertigo is smart, they'll do this as a hardbound edition, hardback, because from what I see from when Mr. Gaiman does his signings, a lot of people are having signed hardbacks done. And so I would imagine that a lot of people would like that with this collection as well. It doesn't have to be an oversized or anything like that. Just, you know, your little Why the Last Man hardback edition.
Oh, yeah. And when Sandman was being printed, it went hardback first.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, soft cover, you know, TPB. So I would be fine with that. I think what really, for me, the hardest part is this is a gorgeous, gorgeous book. And yeah. I am actually reading a digital copy.
Right. Me too.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where my reading comprehension is also, you know, dealing with Zooms and moving in, and the guided view doesn't give me the whole panorama, so I don't want to do guided
well,
view.
Well, and I read mine not through the app today, but I just read it through the Comixology website, which is fine. Right. It's a fine reader that way. But the problem is parts of this book require you to turn the page, turn the book.
And if you're like on the 45 degree angles.
Yeah, if you're on weird. If you're on an iPad and you don't have your rotation lock turned on, you'll try to turn your iPad and the book and the page turns around with it. But if you're on a web page like I was, you have to turn your head upside down.
You have to physically rotate your head. Yeah.
Yes. Or turn your computer upside down.
Well, some of us can rotate our head 360 degrees. You guys can't do that?
I guess bottom line for me on this book is I know what Sandman means to a lot of people. I don't have that love for Sandman as much as other people do. I do find that the character is rich. The world is rich. The writing is wonderful. The art in this issue specifically is wonderful. If I were to say that the writing is wonderful and the art is wonderful and the coloring is wonderful, but the story for me, I'm lost completely. Right. I think this overall has to be a pass for me personally. If you're a Sandman fan, I think that this is a must pick up book unless you're tired of waiting, you know, 3-4 months between issues. Then I would say maybe wait for the collected edition to come. But it's a very fine book. I just have to say pass just, you know, and it's no offense to the creators. It's just I don't know what's going on. I'm lost. Things are not easily digestible. And so this is not a jumping on point book. Let me put it that way.
It is not. And this is the thing I do have the deep and abiding love of Sandman from the beginning because, foolishly, I read issue one, didn't quite get what it was going for, dropped out.
Yeah.
And only came back later and realized what, you know, what I had missed. And by dropping issue one, I learned my story lesson early when it comes to Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
Yeah.
Collections are better.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation here is this is beautiful. I would actually, this is one of the rare times that you're ever going to hear me say this, but I'm not saying be a trade waiter. I'm saying that this will read better in the collection.
Yeah.
So go buy the individual issue and then realize it'll make more sense.
Well, but here's the thing, too, that people don't realize is that a series is not going to get collected if it has low individual sales. If the individual issues do not sell well, the chance of it getting a collected trade is pretty slim.
And so Sandman not getting.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that the individual sales are going well, but I would say if you for sure want to guarantee that there will be a collected volume, you really need to buy the single issues.
And that's, you know, that's what I say, too. When it comes to a book like this, when there's something I've always said buy the individual issues, because that's actually as horrible as it is in the industry, that's how they measure it. They don't necessarily measure people who wait for the trade. So a lot of books, like, you know, the movement get canceled.
Yeah.
Then the trade sales go through the roof. I would say that the chances of this not getting collected are pretty much slim and none. Sandman's sales are still strong.
And I'm sure
20 years later.
I'm sure that Neil Gaiman already has a contract of some sort in place. I mean, he is.
And there will be more stuff in the collection.
I honestly think DC Vertigo benefits more from contracting with Neil to write Sandman than Neil gets out of the deal with Vertigo. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
So there you go. I'm sorry. I'm kind of down on the issue, listeners. It's just I kind of told you kind of up front, but please don't let that detract you from going out and buying this book. Okay, so next week is Christmas Eve. We will still have a show next week. How about that?
Are you listening?
But here, and it will be New Comic Book Day on that Wednesday, and all the publishers have something coming out. They're not all just closing their doors and going to sleep. If they can smell that money roasting on an open fire, They will do everything in their pockets to jingle jangle their way into your hearts. And Dark Horse Comics next week has Aliens Fire and Stone number 4, Captain Midnight number 18, Conan the Avenger number 9, Father's Day number 3, Massive number 10, Mergmid number 29.
It's pronounced smart.
Sundowners number 5, Tomb Raider number 11. DC Comics has Aquaman 37, Arkham Manor number 3, which we do now know ends in 3 issues from now. It's also Batman Annual number 3, Batman Eternal number 38, Dead Boy Detectives number 12, Catwoman Annual, Flash 37, Grayson Annual, Harley Quinn number 13, He-Man the Eternity War number 1.
He-Man.
Justice League Dark number 37, New 52 Futures End number 34, it says weekly. Red Lanterns number 37. That one is coming to an end in March. Sinestro number 8. I can't remember if that's when it's coming to an end or not. But
it's not. Sinestro, you remember because it was one of the cover variants.
No, some of the ones like the some of those are actually coming to an end too with the cover variant.
Sinestro wasn't one of them unless I'm wrong.
Okay. IDW Publishing has, they have some Garbage Pail Kid comic book Puketacular number 1.
And we're done.
Judge Dredd number 26, Silent Hill, Downpour, Anne's Story number 4, TMNT Ghostbusters number 3, and the X-Files Xmas Special. It's a $7.99 book.
I see what they did there.
Image Comics has Cowl number 7, Image First's Nailbiter number 1. That's only $1. Manhattan Projects trade paperback gets collected, The Cold War. That one's actually a cool story if people haven't read that one yet. Revival number 26, Super Dinosaur number 23. Oh, they're still making that book. They're Not Like Us number 1. That's a mature reader book, $2.99. Marvel Comics has All New Captain America number 1. That's a second printing. All New Invaders number 13. All New X Factor number 18. All New X Men Annual number 1. Avengers and X Men Axis number 9. I thought that series was done. Is number 9 the final issue? Or is this an ongoing thing?
I think Axis, I don't know. Do we want to do Axis and see how it works?
No, we don't want to do Axis next week. Nova number 25, Axis, Spider-Woman number 1. That also is a second printing. Word today that she gets a new costume coming soon.
I saw that.
In the comics and graphic novels, we have 8-Bit Zombie. We have Adventure Time number 35. We have, what else? Bee and Puppy Cat number 7.
Ooh, let's review that.
Betty and Veronica Comics Digest 229. Capture Creatures number 2. Somebody asked us today about Crossed Plus 100 number 1 comes out next week. And then the book I think we will review next week though is Doc Savage Special 2014. It's a $7.99 book, but it is a Pat Savage story.
2014.
Yep. Let's see.
Next week is like the end of 2014.
Yep. That's why it's a special 2014.
Pat Savage.
He's My Only Vampire. Graphic Novel Volume 1, Justice Inc. Number 5, that's a rare Ross Virgin Editions, $50.
Zenhide.
Lady Blood Number 1, rare Chin Blood Red Edition, $50.
Wait, what?
That's what it says. Lady Demon Number 1, rare Chin Blood Red Edition.
I know a guy named Chin Blood on the Twitter.
That's Chin Beard.
Oh.
Penguins of Madagascar Number 2, I think that is from Paper Cuts. Shaft number 1 gets a rare Cohen Virgin Art Edition, mature reader, $50. Sleepy Hollow number 3, Sonic Universe number 71, Strange Detective Mysteries graphic novel, that's a $13.99 book. Tarot Witch of the Black Rose number 89, deluxe edition, $20 there. Man, they know these last minute Christmas shoppers are out to get something, and if they're wanting to get some comic books next week, Shaft number 1, $50. Tarot Witch of the Black Rose, $20. Tina on S String graphic novel number 6, $30.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is either, but it's $30.
Sounds naughty.
The Shadow 2014 one shot, $8. Toe Tag Riot number 2, $3.50.
Got a Toe Tag Riot.
Wasteland number 59 is $39. Exo Man of War trade paperback volume 7 Armor Hunters $14.99 and Zoo Hunters number 2 $3.99. All right, everybody. I think that wraps it up for this week. Thank you so much for downloading. Thank you so much for listening. And do keep in mind that it does cost us to put on shows like this for you and to review books and to gather books. And, you know, Roy Thomas Presents Planet Comics Slipcase Edition number 5, $65. Stuff adds up pretty quick.
Yeah,
if you'd like to support some of your favorite podcasts, one thing that you can do is head over to members.majorspoilers.com, members.majorspoilers.com, and become one of our very important people, our Major Spoilers VIPs. These are the people that help us month after month with a very small contribution, sometimes as low as $2 a month. Some people want to go higher, but if you want to do $2 a month in 2015, $24 well spent on all the podcasts on the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. We thank you for your support and thank all of our current Major Spoilers VIPs for their support as well. It's going to be a great 2015. If you haven't been over to the VIP site in a while, go check it out. There's some additional audio material that you might want to check out. And it's all over there thanks to our VIPs. So thank you so much, everybody. And we will be back next week. So keep reading comics and happy holidays.
Yeah.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.